This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
From hospitals to grocery stores, essential workers throughout the country have put their lives at risk serving the public since the pandemic began. And while some employers have provided their essential workers with protective equipment like masks and hand sanitizer, as businesses around the country begin to reopen, there's one big question that looms large. Who is liable if someone gets sick? Now, a new Senate Republican coronavirus aid proposal released yesterday wants to protect employers if employees or customers get the virus. Labor unions and Democrats like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer have said that those protections only reduce the responsibility of employers and put more workers at risk. Michael Sainotto is a journalist with The Guardian. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thanks for having me on.
Something I've been thinking about for a while, I just went to finally get a haircut after 5 or 6 months, and I had to fill out a liability form saying if I got sick, the establishment or the hairdresser was not liable for that. Kind of shocked me. Is that the norm now? Are you seeing that popping up in a lot of places?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it at Disney World. A lot of places, customers are being asked to waive liability in returning to, you know, places of business where they are at risk. For instance, it says right on Disney's website that they're not liable at all for people coming back to the parks.
At the end of the day, it's a choice. A lot of people don't have a choice. These are the workers we're talking about. And when an employee gets sick from coronavirus at work, Michael, have employers been held liable, especially if that employee ends up in the hospital or, God forbid, ends up dying?
No, they haven't. And we've seen this since the beginning of the pandemic. And that's been a source of a lot of worker organizing around the country, is workers protesting and organizing in response to outbreaks at work and a lack of response from employers, whether that comes from a lack of personal protective equipment to not providing workers with paid sick leave when they do get sick, and just a lack of transparency from employers and how many workers are getting sick, and a lack of contact tracing. Almost every worker I've spoken to during this pandemic has had concerns about when coworkers have gotten sick. There's very little effort done by the employer to let people know they were working in this department or this area. Maybe any workers who were in contact with this person should get tested or quarantined, you know, things like that. And that's happening in a variety of industries.
There's a couple of opposing forces here. There's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, otherwise known as OSHA. They have issued guidelines for the coronavirus. What are some of those guidelines, and have those been effective so far, Michael?
They haven't been effective so far because they're just guidelines. There's no accountability. They have proposed guidelines for employers to follow, like wearing masks, putting up partitions to prevent a barrier from, you know, customers and frontline workers, cleaning protocols. But at the same time, OSHA isn't conducting inspections. There's been thousands and thousands of complaints to OSHA from worried workers, and the majority of those have been closed without inspection. What will happen is OSHA will send a letter to the employer. The employer responds, "We're doing the best we can," and then the case gets closed. You know, some workers have filed lawsuits against OSHA alleging that they need to enact emergency guidelines. Some state OSHA agencies have actually done this, where employers will be held liable. They could be subjected to fines if they're found to not be following state or federal guidelines to protect workers.
Let's talk a little bit about the Republican coronavirus package here when it comes to liability. What are they pushing for right now, Michael? Because it seems like, as we mentioned at the top, the protections here are for employers, not employees. Is that right?
Yes. Basically, what the argument is employers shouldn't have any sort of responsibility if workers wind up getting sick at work, or if customers get sick at work as well, it voids any sort of accountability for the employer. So workers can't sue, they can't, you know, file for any sort of retribution if they do get sick and, you know, wind up passing away. Even if the employer doesn't respond to an outbreak in a way that protects workers. So it leaves workers almost responsible for themselves to enforce and protect themselves. But, you know, at this moment, workers are in an impossible situation. With millions of people filing for unemployment every week, they have to, you know, they don't have a choice to go to work or not. They have to take the shifts that they are provided. They have to take the hours that they can. If you have a job right now, you're lucky to have one. Given the state of the economy. So it really gives employers a way out of reopening and the risks associated with that.
I'm wondering, Michael, what types of workers have you been talking to when we talk about workers? Are we talking up and down, you know, the line in terms of, you know, people who are working in supermarkets, minimum wage jobs, all the way up to hospital employees? Like, what types of workers are most concerned about this right now?
Across the board, nurses, hospital staff, frontline workers, grocery store workers, as more places have reopened, restaurants, things like that, to, you know, manufacturing hubs, warehouses, delivery workers, all the service industry workers, you know, all the people that are in constant contact with the public are putting themselves at risk right now, as coronavirus cases are, you know, increasing in many parts of the U.S. A lot of the major corporations, despite the increased risks and the increased workloads, a lot of these workers are faced with right now. A lot of the cleaning, the disinfecting, the protecting themselves and protecting the people they're coming in contact with, that responsibility is placed on them.
What happens to workers now? We're looking at layoffs in a lot of different industries. Is that right?
A lot of different industries are still laying off workers, whether it's as the PPP loans are expiring, businesses that have had to close again after reopening because of surge in coronavirus cases, to just industries that have survived up until this point without laying off workers, either companies announcing or warning that mass layoffs are imminent, like some of the large airlines. United Airlines said by October, 36,000 workers are possibly subjected to getting permanently laid off or furloughed. American Airlines has said that. There's been a lot of university systems who are making decisions right now to cut a lot of workers. There was a study a few weeks ago by the Economic Policy Institute that a large portion of workers who have lost their jobs during the pandemic, those jobs are not coming back. Those workers will not have a job that they had before the pandemic to return to. And a lot of industries, even if they have started to reopen, like hotels and things like that, they're not seeing capacity or demand to the point where they're recalling all their workers. And the ones that are getting recalled, they might only get a few shifts, a week. They're not getting full schedules.
Is there any silver lining in any of this, Michael? Is there anything positive that we can say about workers in the United States right now? Because this is a very serious and grim picture that we're painting, which is necessary. But are there any bright spots? I'm wondering.
Not too many. I think some of the bright spots, if there are any at all, have been the workers who have organized protests, strikes, workers still organizing to form labor unions or organizing with their existing labor unions to push back on employers or bad practices within their industry. The urgency for organizing has certainly intensified because of the working conditions caused by that by the pandemic. But there was a report in the Economic Policy Institute in December 2019. U.S. employers spend around $340 million on union avoidance consultants. About one in five union election campaigns involves a charge that an employer has illegally fired a worker. We've seen that during the pandemic with the Amazon protests. A lot of the workers who led those protests have been fired, have lost their jobs. A lot of workers are seeing the benefits of collective organizing and having a collective voice. It's been inspiring to see these workers on the front lines that are still working during the pandemic to protest and risk their jobs to improve their working conditions and you know raise awareness of how workers in these industries are treated across the board around the country.
Michael Sinauto is a journalist with The Guardian. Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you.